and welcome to Recovery Internet Radio, broadcast direct from Straight Up Studios. I'd like to give a special thanks to our sponsor, Rose Painting and Drywall, decorating Chicagoland since 1969. Give Tom a call for a quote. Area code 815-735-4654. Now our host, Rick Atwater.
Yay!
Wow, that's the first time. I think that's the first time I
I got cheered before I ever got to the band. So welcome to Recovery Internet Radio, our show tonight. Our tag tonight is Relationships in Recovery, Staying Sober Together, and our John and Dory. Our music, our intro music, was by Brendan O. So thank you, Brendan, once again, for letting us use your music for free. And we're going to keep going until we get caught. So this is where we are every Sunday night at 8 o'clock, and I'm glad that you're with us tonight. Chris is our producer and tech guy and sidekick and part-time wise guy.
Yeah.
Full-time
guy. Okay.
Yay!
He helps us out with the lighter side of things. And that's all good. So if you have questions or you want to make a comment or you want to talk to the guest tonight, you can call. And I figured out that the number that you call is the same number every week, which is kind of nice of Blog Talk Radio to do that for us. And that number is 323-792-2977. So if you want to talk, if you want to call, if you have a question or concern or comment, call us. We'd love to hear from you. I think we had four calls. Four,
I believe, yeah.
And one from Nashville, so we're thrilled. And that makes me think of one other thing. I mentioned it last week. We're really interested, because this is internet radio, we have no idea where people are listening from, because you can listen from anywhere. We're not limited by a radio signal. So we're really intrigued by where you're listening from geographically. And if you feel like you would like to do so, please contact us at
www.
Are
we skipping the www's?
Well, it's nerdy.
Yeah, all right. It was recoveryinternetradio.com.
Recoveryinternetradio.com. And let us know where you're listening from. That would really be nice.
Yeah, we got folks from all over. Oh, Arizona last week, just on the call, and people have commented from Germany on your Twitter feed there. So.
That's true, and then we had Nashville. There's somebody in Missouri, and there's some California, and some Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Texas. We're not from Texas, but anyway. I just want to mention our favorite band, Double Take. We mention Double Take every week because we like them. And we steal their music, too.
So the promotion makes up for the usage. They're playing at Escape in McHenry on October 6th, so just a week from now.
Okay. And you can go to their website, which is doubletakechicago.com, and that has a list, I believe, of their gigs.
Yes, it does.
Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then I want to mention just one other thing. This is the last day of recovery month. Is this the last day of the month?
This is it, yeah.
And September was National Recovery Month.
Cool.
So this is the last day. I don't know exactly what that means.
Through the whole month and didn't know it until today.
So. Like in October, everybody gives it up? I don't know. But
no more recovery.
No more recovery.
Guys. Solid month,
though. September. Yeah. Let's hope not.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I thought I would mention that. There was a lot of things going on in the month of September regarding a recovery. And we have a friend who joined us, 3 weeks or so ago, Colleen from Dirty Laundry Designs, Fresh Cards for Addiction and Recovery. And we just like to mention, what's her website again?
That's dirtylaundrydesigns.com.
Dirtylaundrydesigns.com. They've got cool cards. Colleen gave us a whole bunch. Since it's radio, I really can't show you.
they're cool. You can just imagine. Check out the website.
How cool they are. Okay. So I think unless there are any other, you got any other announcements, anything else on the offer that we didn't get to?
Let's get to it.
So, John and Dory and we were just talking before we went on the air about how it just dawned on me, this is the first time we've had two people to interview. So this will be a challenge for us all, I'm sure. Much less married people. Holy crow. So anyway, I use the term when I was thinking with you guys of recovering couple to describe you. Is that a reasonable thing to say to the two of you? Can I call you a recovering couple?
Yeah, today you can, because it's a day at a time, and I'm working today.
Okay, today. So we'll go with today, recovering couple.
We'll take a day at a time in recovery as a couple.
If what would have to happen in order for me not to use that term?
Well, that's a good question.
I wouldn't want to think about that. The police would probably be involved at some point, and maybe a psychiatric institute or two or something. So
either that or you'd have to have a list of her defects.
Well, we're open to that. We'll get to that.
And then if they're blazing, that would be a damn net recovery. Yeah.
Later in the show, we're going to have you do a fist step live, but I forgot to tell you.
I don't think so, pal.
Most everyone will fall asleep, probably.
Yeah. So recovering couple today works for you guys. I think I didn't know what else to. So tell me then what that means. Give me an idea of if we use that terminology, what does recovering couple mean to you?
Well, to me, it means Dory and I have been together for, it will be 29 years this month on the 22nd of October. So to me, what it means is that the 12 steps and the 12 traditions and the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon are a central focus and priority in our lives.
Okay.
And we share that with each other, our daily programs on a daily basis. We don't work the same program. We don't agree on everything. We almost don't agree on anything. But we share what we do and try and make that a part of our daily life. You know, we read, there's plenty of websites that, Hazleton has a daily reader they send you over the internet. We read that together a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we read the Al-Anon daily readers, the AA daily readers.
The Al-Anon one?
There's a few of them.
There's one day at a time
in
Al-Anon.
Yeah.
There's Courage to Change, and then there's Hope for Recovery.
Hope for Today.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like, part of the, just sort of naturally part of the deal for you guys.
Yes.
Would you add anything to that, or?
I think the only thing I would add to it, or my take on it, would be pretty much that it's where we have the same set of principles that we try to live our individual lives with, and that gives us the foundation for basing our marriage life on.
Mm-hmm.
So if it becomes his opinion versus my opinion, we have something to defer to.
Yeah. The principles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can agree on the principles.
Yeah.
And I've heard this phrase, principles over
before
personality.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that vicinity.
Book of Secrets they have.
Book of Secrets. Yeah. Yeah.
Something about that.
So a lot of people are interested in the addiction part of things more so than the marriage thing, but I think more people get divorced than stay married. So the focus I really wanted to get to tonight is more like the stay together part that you guys have managed here, almost 29 years. That's a long time. Are people intrigued, or are they interested in the fact that you've been recovering and married for 29 years?
I don't know if they're interested. The reaction is what's more interesting.
What's the reaction?
Well, when people say, how long have you been married, or are you coming up on an anniversary, and we tell them, most people just go, wow.
like they're shocked.
And then there's like a silence after. I don't know if it's because they can't conceive of that nowadays because there are such a high birth rate, or if it's simply they're in awe that knowing us personally, they wonder how we've survived.
That's more of it.
That's probably more of it. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, whatever.
So there's always this long pause.
Right.
But I think nowadays when anything is successful, I think people want to know how.
How?
How did it happen?
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine. What's the...
Yeah, I think a big key to it is when I did my first fifth step in the program, the guy looked at me and said, "You've never made a commitment to anything, have you?" You know, he said, "You're like, you know, as soon as the next better thing comes along, you're jumping on board and blowing off mm-hmm. whatever you were in."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest thing that had to change here for me to be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like being in the program. You're either going to be married or you're not going to be married. You're
right.
Either in the program, you're actively doing it, or you're not. Same thing with married. You're either being married or you're not. There's no, like, sitting on the fence, I'll, you know, check it out for a while.
Right.
You got to jump into things and make that commitment. And, you know, I think that's the biggest maker of anything. You know, I don't think without that commitment, without that, there would be, you know, we would still be together if we didn't, you know, if I
that
make that commitment that,
that
this is, yeah, you know,
yeah.
In my mind, I had to turn it to, this is it, you know, there's no turning back. This is, you know, we're going to do this.
So that guy, whoever it was that was listening to that fist up and said, "You've never made a commitment to anything," would he be pretty surprised then that you're sitting here talking like this?
Probably. I think he lived about another 10 years, and he did, you know that we were still married at that point, you know. But
so you showed him.
I showed him, yeah. That's another good thing, yeah. That's, you know.
I just have.
No. Yeah, I know. I know that my personality is the same. I'll show them.
Yeah,
you know.
I'll show them. Oh.
But it is pretty amazing when I look back on, I was 3.5 years in program when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back at how goofy I was at that point. You know, now, you know, I have the perspective of time and thinking how well I thought I was then and how sick I actually was. And the fact that we're here today is to me quite miraculous. And, you know, it's a lot of times I've just had to go, "Okay, God, I don't know what she wants or what to do. You just need to handle this, because if I get involved with it, it's not going to work."
Yeah.
And he does, you know. So whoever your higher power is, it's, you know, that's the biggest part of my life today and my married life is I have to defer to him.
Well,
you know,
that's
if I
the,
do it my way, it's...
That's one of the principles,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
as I understand it anyway.
The principle.
Pretty much the
When you
primary,
look at it, it's all
the
about
primary
the relationships, right?
Yeah, that you
building
had to turn
on
it
yourself.
Over.
Yeah,
yeah, that you had to say, I don't know, I can't do this, so
yeah.
mm-hmm.
I guess we better defer to something bigger.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the marriage is hard. I mean, whether there's addiction in it, or backgrounds of addiction that always come because those ghosts come with. I think it's difficult and it takes work. And I think the difference with, you know, the chance that we have using the 12 steps, being in recovery, conscious recovery, is that we maybe don't run. You know, what I've learned in a lot of my program is stay and face it, deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grow through it. And I think marriages that do that, years ago, I was in an Al-Anon meeting, and there was a woman that said, "Alcoholic marriages are different."
Mm-hmm.
Well, many years later now, I know what the hell she's talking about. You know, it's like you take regular marital problems and then you intensify the sensitivities
mm-hmm.
of alcoholics and family members, and you add that reaction stuff in there, and it becomes a huge war instead of a minor skirmish.
Right.
So I think those that do survive and flourish in spite of themselves are actually pretty awesome. And,
yeah.
you know, that's where I know that I wouldn't have stayed this long if I had not had a belief in a power greater than myself and a set of tools or principles that I try to live by on a day-to-day basis. And years ago, John gave me the best piece of advice ever when it comes to marriage, and he said, marriage is a day at a time. Mm-hmm. Some days I'm going to wake up and not want to be married to you. Mm-hmm. You know, some days I am going to wake up and want to be married to you, and I found the same for me. I think the difference for us with both of us being in recovery is there's something that stops us from acting on that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's
it's almost like there's the difficulty that comes with the disease,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and then there's the plus that comes with the recovery. So you got the tools, mm-hmm. you know, but if you don't use them, the odds don't sound good. You know?
It can get ugly in a hurry if you're not in the program working it. You know, it's when I first came around, I'd hear guys say things like, oh, it's alcoholism, not alcoholism. And I thought they were talking about drinking.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they were talking about the contraption between my ears that kept thinking that way on and off, you know, without being treated
right.
by working a program, by going to meetings, you know, by doing the things we do in recovery.
And
if I didn't have that
short memory.
Yeah. And I have an incredibly short memory
doing
for doing
again.
That. Yeah, as she reminded me.
Right.
I have that imprint.
Okay, there we go. We had to get that in there somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. So what is it? Slow remember and a quick forgetter?
Yeah.
Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got one of those?
I have a wonderful memory. It's just very short. That's what I always say, you know.
And just enjoy it while it's there.
Enjoy the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, so what I want to do is get a little, the short form of the background part, you know, so that we have a little bit of an idea where you came from
okay.
and where you came from. And then, you know. You know, it's like that's an hour apiece, but we don't have an hour.
I can talk a lot longer than
okay,
that.
Yeah, that was
30 seconds.
And everybody that knows me knows I have to limit it.
Just day and a half.
The Netflix synopsis on it.
So yeah, can we get a like the short form of your and also to make it even more difficult, know that both of you are working both sides of the mm-hmm. of the program.
Mm-hmm.
So. I don't want to forget. I want to, you know, I don't want to just focus on the chemical and miss the co, if you know
the
what
co.
I'm saying.
Yes, I've been doing this so long. I was codependent long before the term ever came around, and they actually just referred to me as being co-addicted.
Co-addicted.
But my history started even before that. I grew up with a parent that was an alcoholic. Got years and years and years of sobriety, thank God, to the program,
mm-hmm.
Which that in itself was a miracle. I grew up with a lot of violence in the home, and it was periodical, so we never knew it was going to hit, but it was going to hit, so big. So we had all the trauma of that, the shame and all the typical stuff. In a way that I avoided a lot of that was I got into eating disorder. And that led me to program. After my parent got into program and I saw a real change of her personality for the better. And then when I recognized I needed help, it was brought to my attention that I could go someplace. And so I did, and I started getting help there. And then that led me to looking at my usage of alcohol and drugs throughout the years also. And I realized that I had lost the ability to control it. So I did the necessary steps with that and had quite a bit of time in the 12-step program of AA and OA. And then, of course, I did what you're not supposed to do, which is I met an alcoholic and fell madly in love who was really sick. And I was really reacting. And my reactions got worse and worse and worse. And I actually went to Hazel Lynn. And they later told me I was the first person up there that was clean and sober and not in my eating disorder that was absolutely crazy. And they weren't sure what to do with me. And I kept saying, I think I need to go to the other side and look at that stuff. So finally, after a lot of begging and pleading, they let me go. And
what's the other side?
The other side is Al-Anon.
Okay.
Family recovery. Okay. And I fit. Mm-hmm. I fit. It was profound in the sense that I really didn't know what kind of healing I needed, but I knew I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I had already done a lot of my steps. I knew it wasn't that I wasn't working steps. It was just this whole other side. And a very wise man later, after I got home from the family recovery program and the primary stuff, I went into Al-Anon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fabulous because as the people around the tables talked, they were talking about a part of me that had been stuffed many, many, many years before. And it was fascinating to listen to them talk and watch my physical reaction as they talked.
What was the physical reaction?
Physical reactions would be like I'd want to talk and I'd start to cry,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't turn off the tears,
mm-hmm.
Or I would feel extreme rage,
mm-hmm.
As they talked because I could identify with their experiences. And through my own recovery, I chose to leave that alcoholic and learned how to do relationships. Spent a lot of time learning how to do relationships, what makes them good, what destroys them fast. Learned more about myself, had to do a lot of dating, and was finally ready to take on, the commitment and what have you. And Jen and I had been friends. We actually met through my ex-fiancé. And back then, there was just a small nucleus of young people. And so we kind of paled around, and we did it as groups. And very slowly people kind of started dropping off and away and that kind of stuff. And I was at the time, I had gone to school and I was into my career and I was traveling a lot. So I got a lot of exposure with a lot of different meetings all over the place and realized one day that, oh yes, it had happened. I had fallen in love with John. I was still scared, but turned it over, kept asking my higher power. And in a very short period of time, I got a very definite answer. And I proceeded to follow that answer, which is how I run my life, and that was to marry John.
Whoop.
There it is.
There it is! Okay, we had to have a whoop there. It just seemed right.
Okay,
good.
There you go.
All right.
So I met John, and I mean, I was gung-ho Al-Anon, and what I have found in time is that is really my core. I think like an Al-Anonic. I act like them. I react like them. And the way I describe it to people that I sponsor, and I happen to sponsor quite a few people that are in multiple programs, and I think it is because of that uniqueness.
Right.
But what I found is I used and abused different things.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest problem for me was trying to explain to somebody that I could be addicted to somebody's behaviors.
Yeah.
Because it's not a tangible thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I've learned is I have a disease and it's called reaction. I have a disease called alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
I have a disease called obsessive compulsive overeating.
Mm-hmm.
And each one has symptoms. But I've come to believe after all these years in recovery, I think it's all one disease that has many tentacles and is far-reaching.
Mm-hmm.
And as I get healthier, I deal with each of those. And I think you do come to a place where you are recovered,
yeah.
and then it's improving and maintaining that recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the ongoing work.
Yeah.
So that's what I practice.
Okay.
And I try to practice it in my marriage because he does shit that I don't like. And am I going to divorce him today? No. I got to deal with it. I have to face it. I have to learn tolerance. I have to learn patience, forgiveness.
Right. And that's all the stuff that you've picked up, that you've learned along the way that was missing.
Yep. Yep.
As part of your recovery. And you got it. It sounds like you got it in pieces.
Yep.
Pieces of the puzzle. Yeah. Started with one piece, added a piece, and then Al-Anon was the glue that sort of brought everything together.
Yeah, I kind of look at it the way I describe it is my higher power knows me so well that he knew what I could handle at each stage,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't give me the really hard shit until I got well enough to do it.
There you go. Speaking of that, I think you mentioned that when you were going to make that decision, when you'd known each other for a while, you left it, gave it over, you know, mm-hmm. gave it up and asked your higher power, is this going to be the right thing to do? What was the sign?
What
so you got,
sign?
You got, you
okay.
got it, came in pretty
Here's
quick.
There's a whole story. I'll try to make it short. I was living with a girlfriend in recovery, and we were living at her place, and I had been dating John for a while, and we had a very, very subtle dating. We were friends for so long. And actually the joke is that I knew we had gone from friends to dating when he didn't take money from me one night at dinner. I paid for my own. And I asked him one night, do you really want some money? And he goes, no, I'll get it this time. And I'm like, wow, that's different.
We crossed the river.
Then it was confirmed when we were out, the two of us at, the Renaissance Fair, and accidentally our hands brushed and he grabbed my hand and held it. And suddenly I had never been so aware of my hand in my life. But, and then of course, our higher powers have a sense of humor. We ran into another couple from the program that knew us quite well, and they immediately had this big shitty grin on their faces like, oh, they're an item.
They're a couple, right?
So that kind of confirmed it. But then later, I was getting at a point where I knew the relationship was either going to have to go deeper or end so that I could be free to pursue my own recovery and my own relationships with hopefully marriage eventually. And I started turning over my higher power and asking, you know, do you want me with this guy? Do you not want me with this guy? Let me know. And I did that for 2 weeks, and I was driving myself absolutely insane. And so I shared this with my roommate over dinner one night, and I said, you know what? I'm going to do what I've done with everything else. I'm just going to completely let it go and not give a damn and wait to see what happens. That same night, John showed up at my house at 10 o'clock at night. We weren't supposed to get together that night. And the first thing out of his mouth when he came in was, oh, I was talking to my sponsor today about marriage. He and I had never talked about marriage prior to that, the two of us. Freaked me out. My roommate was so freaked out. She said, well, I think I'm going to bed now. Good night. And she got up and left the room. And at 3 o'clock that following morning, after he had gone through all his questions, he asked me to marry him. And I knew that, okay, thank you, God. I got my answer. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I always do with my higher power is I said, you know, I'm smart. I know I have a very strong will. I know that will can be cunning, baffling, and powerful. Mm-hmm. So keep the answer so simple mm-hmm. and so clear that I can't screw it up. And that's how I do my life.
There was.
And it works. It works.
There it was. All right. Well, that was a good question. Yeah,
that was from an audience question right there.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I think what we'll do is we'll take a break and we'll let Mike. What are you going to do, Mike? Norwegian Wood? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
You didn't change your mind in the.
No, he's still on that page.
I like that song.
No,
all right. So you're going to do Norwegian Wood, and then we'll give it a couple minutes, and then we'll come back and.
Okay.
Hear your side of the story.
Yeah, boy, is that different, though.
Yeah, Dory came over to my house and asked me to marry her.
I doubt that.
Ready?
Yeah.
Fire it up.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, you're going to do some chords for us at the end and play out, right? Okay. All right. So back to us here. So I want to hear your side of this whole thing, John.
The me side of the story?
Yeah, the me side. Yeah, I told you you'd get to talk about you.
I thought she was supposed to talk about me. Then I would
talk
about
me.
No,
she's going to
tell
you.
Well, you
got to
tell
them
the very, very first time you
saw me. She knows better than that.
The very first time I saw you.
Yeah. You got to add that part to the story because it speaks volumes for how patient you can be when you want something.
Well,
let's see what he
right
does
there,
with that one.
Gave it away.
So I met Dory at a meeting, of all places, imagine that, at the Allen O Club in the town we were from. Can I say the name of the places?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know about this whole anonymity, but I was in Des Plaines. I was one of the very first residents of the first step house in Des Plaines.
Yeah.
And there was this cute redheaded curly-haired girl in the meeting 1:05 o'clock, and I said, after we got back to the house, to my co-inmate, Jeff, who had been around for a while before but drank again and was back,
yeah.
You know, I said, what's the deal with her? And he's like, oh, forget about it. She's engaged. They're in love. She isn't even going to, you know, look at you. You know how women are when they're engaged. So I thought nothing more of it and continued to stay sober, go to meetings, got a job. Got the job with the little red truck. Remember the
little
red truck?
Yeah.
I used to drive a van for an electrical supply house, and it was red, and you know, with lettering on it. She would, she always referred to it as my little red truck. And
the little red truck.
She would kind of be between Elk Grove Village and where the supply house was, so I would stop by her place for lunch some days and stuff in my little red truck. And but I was going back to the first time I met her, so. At any rate, then I met this other gentleman, Randy, in recovery, and he was younger than me, actually. And there weren't a lot of young people around. You know, he's like, why don't you come to our Monday night young people's meeting? And I'm kind of palling around with him some, and it turns out that, you know, one night he's like, well, pick me up at my place or something, and I go there, and it's Dory's his fiance. Turns out, I'm like, oh crap. So, you know, so there was no plan at that point.
Yeah, there was no getting around that.
And Randy and I were friends for a while. We actually worked for a while at a place together. And that was before the red truck place. And then, you know, I missed the ugly program breakup of Dory and Randy and, you know, the wedding's off and the whole nine yards. And I think Dory would travel and come into town and call like on a Wednesday and go, are you doing anything tonight? Would you like to go to a movie? Because I'm only in town tonight and then I got to hit the road. She was a technician
traveling
for a company. So she was doing a lot of traveling around the Midwest. And when she did come into town, she didn't always, you know, like have the greatest schedule. And here I was just going to AA meetings, trying to stay sober. I didn't have much of a life at that point.
You were still in the halfway house?
And
No. log out. I don't play with newbies after the first one.
That's just a couple years down the road.
Okay.
I learned my lesson.
Well, maybe a year or two out of the halfway house some point. But, you know, I was going to meetings regularly and working. And, you know, I thought I was pretty well by that point. You know, a year and a half of sobriety. I haven't drank in a year and a half. What are you talking about? What do you mean? You know?
Yeah.
It's like
pretty much got
much had it together go out, and like she said, we paddled around and it was, you know, a lot of fun, and we'd go to affairs where other people, you know, like AA, in those days you had to go to a dance to meet a girl.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have match.com or anything. You couldn't use this thing.
You had to
talk to them live and impress them with your looks and put on cologne. And
that sounds really hard. I don't know.
You know, you couldn't tell lies in print, you know, like, yeah, I'm the president of my company or whatever.
That's old school, John. That's old school stuff.
So,
well, 29 years.
Yeah, that is old school.
But, you know, so like I said, we paddled around and we crossed that from friends to lover's barrier at some point.
Do you remember that point?
Well, yeah, I remember that point. But we're not going to go into that one either.
We're not going there. Yeah, but your memory is different than
hers.
Your memory
is
different than hers. It's all
yeah.
For her, it's like when you paid for dinner and you,
yeah.
Well, okay.
So,
I get you.
Yeah,
yeah, but that was a few months before we actually got engaged.
Yeah,
we did. You know, we did it by the book. You know, it was
mm-hmm. we
wanted to keep it friends,
mm-hmm.
and at least
yeah.
I did. But
yeah,
we were gonna go slow and do right for once.
Yeah, do the
know.
Suggested way, not the self-will way.
Well, that's good. You were serious about your program.
Yeah.
And I was not like in good shape when I got out of the program. In fact, Jeff, the guy I referred to in the halfway house. The first night I came in, he went to Jack, the custodian, and said, I think he needs to go to detox. And Jack was like, he just got out of a 28-day program. What are you talking about?
Honey,
like the guy's shaking like a leaf.
Our story, not yours.
Oh, darn it. Did I go into me?
It slipped in there a little bit. It's an interesting tidbit.
We're on the time limit here.
So this was kind of life or death that I say sober, but I also wanted to join life again.
Right,
you know, I didn't have
to why you were serious about doing
yeah.
it right, and I take it you were too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So okay. The rest of the story goes, we adopted a dog who we called George because
mm-hmm.
one night asleep I said to Dory in bed, I love you, George. I don't know where that came from.
Wait, you like jumped out the hole getting
yeah.
married and everything. We're
yeah.
already in our first house with that story.
Yeah, so we got married, you know, and it was, it's been fun, and when it's not fun, it's interesting to
right.
be, you know, with two of us.
Right.
A friend of mine says, you know, about married program people, it's like, he's like, well, would you want to marry you? You know, so you got to kind of.
And I keep looking for me.
I think marriage is one of the most worthwhile things I've ever participated in, but it's also the most difficult thing. If
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be, you know, to go the distance, we've hit a lot of bad bumps,
mm-hmm.
wipeouts, almost been broken up at several junctures.
Mm-hmm.
The reacting, the overreacting,
the reacting.
My overreacting. I'm not just saying hers.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
She felt I was pointing to her at that point.
Well,
our
radio audience can't see
her.
So fire away.
I look great on radio, don't I, folks? Yeah. But it's difficult being married. You know, there's a reason why people in our society today, you know, split up so often. It's difficult
sure.
to stay married. It's
yeah.
almost easier now to get split up and go your own way. But I think the reward in the end is worth the difficulty. You know, it's like the little things in life that count are things that we share together. And
mm-hmm.
I think you have to be married to kind of understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like,
pick a little thing. Example of something that makes it
well, like last night we got to babysit our step granddaughter to be together, you know,
yeah,
and it was fun. So, you know,
yeah.
it's like those little family like things. We have a son who's how old is he now?
24.
He was always interesting, kept us involved,
mm-hmm.
Was kind of nonstop from
birth until
he,
23. No.
Yeah. Until he left home. But he's a good, you know, he's
a good kid.
He's always
yeah.
been a good kid, and he's getting married. He's graduated college, and, you know, he didn't have the full-on goofiness of our ism to deal with because we worked programs all the time.
So there's still a touch of it there, I'm sure, for him.
Yeah, throw it back in our faces at times.
I'm sure he'll be going to some therapist at some point talking about us.
Threw it back in your face like,
oh, it was great. No,
Mom,
one,
go to a meeting.
One
yeah.
day he was about 16, and we went through a rough patch when he was 16, 17, as you know, because
mm-hmm.
we were on the phone with you a few times. And I remember I was enraged that he wouldn't cooperate. And he was doing a lot of dad's behaviors that drive me nuts.
Things she really loves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I was looking at my son, and I was saying, God, you're just driving me crazy. And he goes, Mom, you have a sponsor, you have a program, go talk about it there, and I can't make you feel anything. And it shut me up faster than anything, but it was
the best.
Because it was exactly what I needed to be told.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I have to be accountable for my stuff.
Do you think, I don't know, this is a little off the reservation, but do you think that kids that grow up in a recovering family like that, you know, where do you learn that? From you?
Listening, eavesdropping on my sponsee calls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's been
so
on the stairs.
So he listened to what you were telling them, and he just fed it back to you.
Exactly.
That's why I always go in the other room to talk, so I don't hear from
Too late.
You heard it all.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I have another question for you. I actually have two more questions, but one is, do you think, looking back when you met, what was it that attracted you to each other? Was it the sickness? Was it the health?
For me, it was seeing the recovery that I saw in John.
Okay.
John was one of the first guys that I knew in program that did it by the suggested way. Didn't mess around with a lot of women, you know, didn't do a lot of 13-stepping. He went to his meetings, he worked his steps, you know, he talked to his sponsors.
Say what 13-stepping is, just
13-stepping, well, I've heard many different versions. The one that I was taught is, discuss the sheets between the sheets.
I see.
You know, you do it with the intent or the cloak of discussing program, but it's really about getting what you want, which is the relationship or the person or a satisfaction for lust or whatever. But it jeopardizes everybody's recovery, and that's the danger of it. So I came to understand why.
You got a similar definition?
For 13th, I think it's, if you read Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, he didn't want women in AA because somebody was getting drunk. That meant, you know, we're not well-behaved. Let's say you're generally as newcomers.
Think with the wrong head.
Yeah, think with the wrong head. We heard a lot of things like that.
I got another one, yeah.
All right.
But,
good timing.
But I knew that when I got the program, I wasn't successful really at anything, especially not at relationships. I mean, if you want to, you know.
Yeah.
And so, if I'm going to do this, I might as well stay sober, live long enough, and try and get it right, you know, at least one time before,
before you
and
die.
My experience with you is that you do it right. I mean, you know, you do, you know.
Here, maybe you can read that because I can't talk and read.
We're men. We can only do one thing at a time.
Right. It's too difficult for me to do that. But yeah. So it was.
For me, it was seeing his recovery in action.
Right, seeing his recovery. And for you? And
for me, it was seeing her recovery. And, you know, I'm always...
Were you interested in being with somebody who was serious about it? Is it?
Yeah, I think it was. There was a lot of commonality there between us, you know, as far as being in program and working a program. And we had the principles to fall back on.
And as the relationship grew, if I can interrupt, that we also found that there were a lot of things, activities that we like to do together that were what I call mundane. And years ago, I remember hearing going grocery shopping, you know, going for a walk in the park, sitting in a car.
Is he a good shopper?
Yeah, actually he is. That's one of our more fun things when I can get him to go. Yeah. But I did learn that two stores is about the max, and then he glazes over.
Oh,
so then I get to enter another one at my own risk.
Okay, two stores.
I feel like that's pretty good.
I would say
yeah, absolutely. You know,
I grew up in a house with seven women, so I spent a lot of time shopping, unfortunately.
You learn how to shop.
We got one definition from the audience for 13 stepping here. People with more sobriety dating younger sobriety. Is that about sum it up? I mean,
dating is probably the kindest way.
In a nice way. What do we call it? Pigeon something, you know?
Yeah. Pigeon bowling?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
You know.
Mature. We put it mature.
I can call it outright manipulation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was attracted to about Dory, and a lot of people tried to warn me, well, a program person, you know, they're sick too, blah, blah, blah. Well, what I learned in AA was I could learn from others' mistakes. And all the guys that were telling me that, well, maybe, you know, she's in program, she's kind of nutty like us, maybe you shouldn't. Every one of the women they were going out with ended up needing to be in some kind of recovery for herself or not.
Yeah.
Anyway,
right.
So that was who I was attracted to.
Hadn't even
gotten to the
first,
hadn't been to the first meeting yet. And, you know, now they're married to them. And things are going south rapidly, and they're wondering why.
I was just going to say, the other thing that was the attraction was that being that I had had enough time in Al-Anon, I had become convinced that I would find and hook up with another alcoholic.
Right.
And my thought was that if I find a recovering one that has good recovery, I'm not going to have to go down that horrible road of them maybe bottoming out, maybe not, and all that shit that I'd have to deal with that.
Right.
So I figured my chances of success would be much better with somebody that had a good working program over a long period of time.
Yeah, pick a recovering one. I like it.
You know, it's 50-50 chance, you know, crapshoot, but it actually turned out to be true.
Well, you're in other words, you're probably going to get one anyway. So.
Definitely. Right. Not probably. I can find them in a crowded room.
How does that happen?
Years ago, I was in a meeting in Al-Anon in Florida, and there was a wonderful woman that used to say, "Honey, the horns on our heads fit the holes on theirs, and we go dancing down the lane together." I love that.
Just
a friend of mine in Al-Anon would go to these AA conferences and, you know, Al-Anon recovery group conferences, and he'd say the Al-Anon men would be at a table together. And his sponsor would say, "Quick, pick the woman in the room at the banquet that you find the most attractive here." And they'd all pick. And then they'd have the sobriety countdown. And they'd get down to 90 days, 30 days. That's when all the women would be standing up. Yeah. So I think it's, you know, it's just like pre-programmed that I'm attracted to someone who's like me, as, you know, has the tinker toy. I don't think a normal person, if there's such a thing, which I think there is, or at least there's a person that isn't affected by alcoholism.
I've heard
addiction.
I heard that there are.
Meet them.
They would find me quite crazy, and I would probably find them terribly boring.
Terribly boring. That's how you know they're probably normal.
Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, should we make a cheesecake tonight, honey? You know, I don't know. I don't know what they do, but it wouldn't be like, you know, exciting enough.
Your daughter loves the pastry chef. You better watch it.
I saw a cartoon once, and it's the thing underneath it said it was the conference of adult children with normal parents.
Yeah.
And there's one guy
in the audience.
I saw that same cartoon.
I kept it in my office just in case somebody had questions about their, you know, give me the I'm normal routine. But anyway, so my thinking was that, you know, you both work both programs to some extent or another. That's pretty. Do you find other people like you? I mean, that seems pretty rare that I find both.
Actually, in Algonquin, we've started a men's meeting in Algonquin, Illinois, an Al-Anon men's meeting, and I would say the preponderance of guys that go there are in both programs. They either have a spouse or a child that is actively drinking or is a recovering person.
Yeah.
So I would say you find a lot.
There's more of us than there used to be.
Yeah.
Double winners. And, you know, I spent some time in Al-Anon, I became convinced that every recovering alcoholic should go to Al-Anon, because I don't know one alcoholic that has ever learned how to have a healthy relationship. Al-Anon's principles are about healthy relationships, how to do them a day at a time.
Yeah, and I would say, really honestly, of the people that I see in my practice that are recovering, particularly males, most of the work is on the codependency stuff. Because that's the stuff that's not usually addressed elsewhere.
Yeah.
So I would think that's true. But so let me just ask you this: if he's a double winner and you're a double winner, what do you call it when you're married to a double winner? Then are you a quadruple winner?
Jackpot?
One part of me goes really, really nuts.
Really,
the other
really
part of me wants to go really, really healthy. I'm
really
not
healthy.
Sure which.
Let's go with option two.
Depends on what day it is.
Yeah, it goes back to the day.
Yeah. All right, final question. If you had to give advice, and I know you don't, you know, we're kind of like not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to stick to experience, strength, and hope, but since I'm asking, you get a free shot. If you could advise people in the program that you're in about relationships, if they're entering a relationship, what kind of, and I'd like to hear, you know, something from each of you, what would you say to them? What kind of advice would you give them sort of as a gift? What would you tell them?
I would tell them, first of all, become their own best friend. And then hook up with somebody that wants to share that.
That's pretty good. What do you got?
I think it goes back to basic program, what they taught us. William Shakespeare, to thine own self be true, so mm-hmm. that to no man you'll be false.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of honesty. Relationships, the first four letters are real. If I'm not real, the relationship isn't going to be real. And that would be my only advice is stay real, be yourself, mm-hmm. because you're going to come out sooner or later. You know, you can't hide yourself
you're
for too long once you're married.
Yeah.
At some point, you're coming out. You know, and we all like to put our best foot forward and be in image management when we're dating and situations and, you know, the best foot forward and that whole thing. But important to be real and honest, and that's what intimacy is really about, I think. And if you don't have that, if you're afraid of it, you know, maybe you need to take a step back, work your program, build your faith, and mm-hmm. accept and trust who you are and who God wants you to be, mm-hmm. and work that.
And those are actually said different ways, but
pretty much the same.
Pretty much the same.
I just wanted to piggyback on that I learned. And I think this really kind of describes it. If my words and my actions match, I'm telling the truth. If I'm not, somebody's lying, and I got to deal with it. Yeah. And that has also helped me in dealing with others, because words are easy, they can come fast, they're manipulative. Behavior, that's what you see day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
And that is more of a judge of character. As far as what is our personal truth.
Watch what they do.
Yeah, watch what they do. Don't listen to what they say. And I learned that in the very beginning of Al-Anon. And I also learned that in AA, you know, when it was my behavior.
And is it, you know, I mean, it's interesting, but is that consistent today with you guys? Stays true?
Stays true anywhere. I mean, it's like they say in Al-Anon, watch their feet. You don't have to listen to what they say. Watch what they do.
Right.
And, you know, it's...
They meaning moi.
Yeah. And watch my feet. If I'm not doing what I'm saying I'm doing, there's a lie in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't be pretending to be something I'm not to Dory in our marriage, you know, and get away with it for very long. It's not, like I said, it's, you know, it becomes a lie then, and that leads to all the troubles.
More lies.
Mm-hmm. You know.
More lies.
I think that's really good, good advice, and I'm glad that I could have you guys here and share some of that, because I think it's just valuable stuff. And you know, you are rare people. I mean, you know, you're rare. You know, recovering.
We haven't heard that.
I've been called a lot of things. I don't know if rare is one of
them. You know, medium rare.
Medium rare.
Well done.
Baked a little.
You know what else made me laugh is when you were talking about young people's meetings, and I'm thinking young people, you know, John, young people. But then I think, I used to grow on top of my head when I came around. So if we take it backwards,
we're talking 34 years of sobriety and almost the same in Al-Anon. And we were young back
then.
We had 80s hair. We had big hair.
I'd love to see a picture of that.
I
really thank you for coming and talking and doing what you do and sharing your stuff. And
thanks for asking us.
You've helped a lot of people.
I
think that's valuable stuff, you know, even for people that aren't in recovery. I mean, just being in marriage is hard. And to have tools like that, I think it can be a blessing, too. So that's really cool.
Okay. You going to play us out, Mike? So thank you to all of our listeners out there, and hopefully you will tell us where the heck is from.
Where you at?
We really want to know. RecoveryInternetRadio.com. Let us know. Thank you for making us a successful little resource for the recovery community. We'll email reminders for next week's show sometime next week. And if you want to get on our reminder list, go to
RecoveryInternetRadio.com
and sign up.
Contact us. You can email. You can sign up for the reminder. The whole bit.
And you can also, by the way, you can tweet us during the show. I forgot to mention that.
You did, but that's okay.
Okay.
You can tweet us after the show.
You can tweet us after the show. You can also listen to any and all of the shows in archived format on the website or by going to Blog Talk Radio, Straight Stuff on Addiction, or podcast.
Yeah. All through that, you can get to all that through the website.
All that through the website. Okay. So, I guess that's just about everything. We want to remind you that we try to keep a fairly open perspective and all kinds of viewpoints about recovery here. So, if you have ideas, email us or let us know. And as always, live today, love yourself and your neighbor, and together, trudge the happy road to destiny. We hope you enjoyed the show. See you at 8 o'clock next Sunday night.
Same time, same place.
We off the air?